You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Paul, it's an interesting season. Oh my goodness, you're a coach. I want to get your thought. You coached for a long time, and you played for a long time. So I know that coaches and players will have disagreements sometimes. It happens. But I don't know if – so here's Doc Rivers, pretty respected coach, says, hey, Ben Simmons, come in here for a defensive drill. And the player says no. And then he's like, well, actually, no, come on in. And he says no. Well, then take your ball and go home. And then he left. Have you ever been a part of a team, either as a coach or a player, where a guy just flat out refused to do a drill?
I was coaching 12 and 13-year-olds, and I had a kid refuse to do a drill and throw a bit of a tantrum. That's about the age level on the outside. I think that what Simmons did, you can talk a kid off the ledge on. What Simmons did, this is just so stupid. Like, there's things right now that just fall into that category in my mind of that, the caustic description of just stupid. Practicing with your phone in your shorts, you're getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. You don't want to be there, like you said. He wasn't there for a while. Now he shows up, horrible attitude, and won't do a drill. Like, just go home, let the Sixers either sit and not get paid, or let the Sixers work out a trade. But don't go in and poison the whole team. I think Simmons has mental health issues, and I mean that sincerely. You don't act that way if you're feeling good about life. So he just needs to go away, get the help he needs. Sixers need to make a deal, and they need to move on, because he will be of no value to the team at all.
Yeah, valid point. 100%. He has no, like, Joel Embiid, like, you're creating such a caustic environment amongst your own teammates. When Joel Embiid, like, you know, even beforehand, he was like, hey, you know what, Ben, yeah, he's my guy, whatever. He's like, I don't care anymore about him. He only does what he wants to do. Like, clearly, there's no coming back from this. And all this is doing is lowering his trade value. So he's trying to I don't even know if he understands that he's self-sabotaging here, because the 76ers might just say, you know what, he's probably this could even allow him to get suspended internally. It might lead to internal suspension where they don't have to pay him. And now what? Now he sits out and doesn't even get paid.
I know. And the guy, the only comparison I have over the last few years in the NBA is the tantrum that Jimmy Butler threw in Minnesota to get himself traded. But the one thing you knew with Butler is that when he showed up on the court, he was going to compete. He might be a jerk while he's competing, but he is going to compete. You don't know that with Simmons. I heard the description of Simmons today by an analyst saying Simmons is an all-star talent who has not improved a bit since he's come into the NBA. He has tremendous gifts. He's an elite defender. He's an elite passer and ball handler, but he refuses to shoot a three-pointer. What guy comes into the league and spends years in the league and doesn't improve his game? Well, it's Ben Simmons. So his value becomes less and less. And now if you're a team that's looking at making a big deal, like, let's say, Minnesota, this would be the perfect deal for Minnesota, Jason, because they've done everything wrong over their entire franchise history. So this would just be in keeping for them to make a big deal and bring in Ben Simmons and have him implode the franchise. He'd be their new form of implosion. But like with Simmons, Philadelphia obviously just has to move on, and good luck to any team that gets this guy, because you know you're going to have this personality that is going to show up at some point in his tenure with your team.
And I know for you to say that, Paul, that stings a bit, because your family's all from Minnesota. You're a Minnesota guy, so to see the Timberwolves be that bad not be good. Now, we have
Timberlake. I think that's a better description than Justin Timberlake's. I think that would be better.
That might be better. We have Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Now, no Kyrie for Brooklyn. How much of it – now, Kyrie, you know what, he beats to his own drum. It's obvious. But how big of a loss – because when he's on the court, he's a pretty good player. How big of a loss is this to Brooklyn's chances of being a championship team, do you feel, if he's not back?
Well, I think it's a defining loss. With Kyrie, they are clearly the favorite in the NBA. If everybody's healthy, the big three, and then they have a good supporting cast as well. They're clearly the favorite, even with Milwaukee bringing everybody back and being the reigning NBA champion. They are. But, again, with Kyrie marching to his own beat, that's a very kind way of saying what a flake. And if it's not the earth's flat and he's not trying, you know, he's not sabotaging Boston, now this kind of issue is coming up. So I think the Nets are going to move on without him, and I think they're going to be very good without him. But I think just as all it came down to last year and the difference between Milwaukee and Brooklyn, Jason, was Kevin Durant's toe barely being on the three-point line, and instead of winning the game, it tied the game and sent it to overtime. The Bucks win. The rest is history. Bucks are the NBA champion. I think Brooklyn's going to be very, very good if they're healthy. They're going to be neck and neck with Milwaukee. And to me, the clear-cut two favorites in the preseason are the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Paul Sir joins us talking NBA. Of course, they have two games tonight. The Bucks will likely have banner raising as they host Brooklyn, and then Golden State takes on the Lakers. What do you make of the Warriors? We got Steph Curry back. Of course, like the best back shooting or shooting backcourt in the NBA is back, and hopefully him and Klay stay healthy. With those two back, like are the Warriors, are they like a top four team automatic for you in the West?
I would say top four in the West, yeah. Top four in the NBA, not so much. That remains to be seen because Wiseman in the post, Wiggins, who really needs help in how he communicates at a press conference, but having a good season, I think the Warriors should be pretty good. Draymond Green, et cetera. Top four in the West, yes, I think they will be. But, you know, Curry's almost 33. Thompson's right around the same. Thompson's been off for two seasons. So I have no doubt, though, Klay Thompson's going to come back and be effective. And once again, just to see these two guys out there playing again is good for basketball, because when they're playing, it's a lot of fun to watch, unlike any other duo, I think, in the game. Just the way those two play off each other, the way they shoot the basketball, it's something special. So hopefully the Warriors will get back on track and get back to where they back at least in the same conversation to where they used to be.
Paul, the Toronto Raptors, we're really long. If we play good team defense, we'll be competitive. What do you make of the Raptors? Where do you, like, I was outlining the East and I said, you know what, I think they can compete for 7th and 8th with Indiana and the Knicks, and that's kind of where I see them, although I actually picked them to finish 9th. Where do you see the Raptors season going?
I have no idea. I really don't. I find their roster a mystery. Like you said, it's almost the joke now. Yeah, we're really long and athletic, but what else are you? You have to be more than that to be a contender. I definitely in the bottom half of the playoff picture in the East, if they make it at all. I just don't know how they're going to shoot the ball. Their offensive style of play in the preseason is pretty hard to watch. It's unusual because they don't have a go-to scorer at all this year going into the season, other than Siakam. But Siakam showed last year he's problematic when he is the guy. So Nick Nurse is a good coach. He's proven that. The kids, they'll play hard. They'll defend well. I just don't know how they're going to manufacture enough points against the elite teams to really be any kind of a serious threat in the East at all. So, of course, everybody is convinced a jury is, a genius, and he sure was with Kawhi. Was that his one genius move? We'll see. Maybe he's got something that he can pull this year, but he certainly didn't, at least on the surface, do anything that was that overwhelming in the offseason.
What about the Knicks? Are they ready to take a step?
I don't know, because the step they took last year was such a weird one and unexpected. I don't know how much better that team could be. Tom Thibodeau, there was an NBA coach named Bill Musselman. He coached at the University of Minnesota, had the distinguished part of his career of having the biggest fight ever in NCAA basketball between the University of Minnesota and Ohio State way, way back. But Musselman would be brought into NBA teams to show tough love to young talent and turn them around. And then after about a year or two, the young talent would get sick of him and he would move on to his next gig. Is that Tom Thibodeau in New York? Did he get those guys to just play so hard last year and overachieve in a season? Or are the Knicks just playing that good? RJ Barrett keeps getting better. Julian Randle is a very good player. Are they an elite team? Are they going to take a step forward or are they going to take a step back? I'd be shocked if they took a step forward. I would expect them to stay where they were or take a slight step back, to be honest, with the type of talent they have.
Well, Paul, we look forward to it. Look forward to talking to you all season about basketball. Appreciate your time. Have a good one.
Likewise, Jason. Take care.